Well, here we are again, as promised. What a great little tune that was. The reason I chose that particular piece for tonight's topic is because that's exactly what the internet is for a lot of people. It's a substitute for real life. A lot of folks use the internet inappropriately, and a lot of folks use it appropriately as well. So let's talk about some of the things that we need to be working on. And I think this is going to be a good time for both adults and adolescents to be listening to this kind of thing. Because, you know, actually most teenagers and younger children are a whole lot more savvy about the internet than most adults, and that includes me. What I know about it is through my folks who've gotten into trouble, obviously. But what I find with a lot of my patient population is one of two sort of ends of the spectrum. Folks either get on the internet as a sort of social, an appropriate social media to connect with folks or to download homework or to talk with people across the country or whatever, or to gather information about certain things that they need, topics that they're interested in. And that's obviously an appropriate thing to do. The problem is, there's also this other group of folks who use the internet as a substitute for real life interactions because of fear, isolation, mental illness, whatever. A lot of people develop relationships online and never meet the folks in real time, and they have this fantasy idea in their head of what the relationship is going to be like, and of course it's nothing like that. It's, you know, it's exactly that. It's a fantasy. And it's oftentimes keeps the person, whether they're an adult or an adolescent, from socially interacting in appropriate manners, learning certain rules of engagement, so to speak. And also, you know, it's sort of a way for people who have certain kinds of disorders, particularly the cluster B types, to do all sorts of inappropriate things on the internet and have no accountability with it. Right, that's also why a lot of predators get on the internet, and a lot of people selling, you know, bridges over the Sahara Desert and various other things, why they get on there and prey on folks and naivete to get money in unethical ways. A lot of folks also try, of course, to get attention, and, you know, they'll videotape themselves and post them to YouTube and all kinds of crazy stuff, thinking they're going to get support or thinking they're going to get, you know, affirmation. And what they get, in a sense, is not that, but ridicule and consternation and all sorts of negative feedback that they don't want. And, you know, as most of you who are listening to this podcast probably are aware, there have been an outbreak in recent months of folks using the internet as to get social support, and in fact have not gotten social support and have ended up getting pretty distraught about it, and in some cases doing very inappropriate things to themselves as a result of that. You know, folks also taking things and posting it online as a joke when really what they're doing is inappropriately exposing other folks through hidden cameras to things they had no business seeing or taping in the first place, and they sure as hell didn't have any business posting it to the internet. So, you know, before you post anything, whether it's of yourself or somebody else, make damn sure that you want folks to get it and to see it. Because once it's out there, and you have very little, if any, control over it. And it's out there for a really, really long time. And, you know, what I tell people is if it's something really private, you know, you need to use the Elmer Fudd coping tool, which is being very, very careful. You're hunting internet. And be very, very, very judicious about what one puts out there. You know, because folks who post pictures of themselves in, shall we say, compromising positions or at parties drinking or whatever, you know, parents aren't total morons. They can, you know, find stuff if you post it on a My page, you know, MySpace page or whatever. What most of folks don't also know is a lot of these social media sites now are now automatically posting to each other. So even if you have two or three different identities out there, the sites find each other and link them together. So somebody who's trying to find you and find out information about you can do that pretty frickin' regularly. So again, be very, 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 very careful. You know, and if you look at the stats, you know, something like 95% of American teenagers between the ages of 12 and 17 go online, with 75% of adults roughly 18 and over going online. 58% of those people who are going online who are teenagers have profiles online, whereas 42% do not. So that still leaves a lot of folks out there at risk, you know, for what you put on there. When you look at people who are being sexually solicited by folks who are lying, because as you know, people can create profiles and say anything they want to and pretend to be people they're not. You know, like I often say to folks, you know, I can say that I'm a 16-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed chick with big hooters, but, you know, that's definitely not true, obviously. And if it's not obvious, you know, if you look at me, it's pretty freaking obvious. A, I'm not a chick. B, I don't have blonde hair. C, I'm certainly not 16, although I certainly wish I was. And I don't have big hooters, and I'm really glad of that. I'd be even freakier than I already am. If you look at the victims of most, you know, inappropriate, like sexual solicitations and that sort of thing, most of the victims are not adults. They're teenagers. Many of them, most common age are between 14 and 17, and most of them are female. Because of their youth and vulnerability and inexperience, you know, they are easy targets for some of these folks. And even as savvy as a lot of kids are, you know, adults who are predatory or folks who are looking to scam you, whether it's money, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, they're pretty savvy about stuff, and some of these folks are very sophisticated. Offenders on the internet are generally those who do inappropriate sexual things on the internet are usually other adolescents. Something like 45% of the offenders are teenagers. About 25 to 30% are adults between 18 and 21, young adults, which only leaves about 10% for older adults over 21 to be the offenders, right? What a lot of people don't realize is a lot of the so-called victims of these, particularly these sex crimes, are aware of the age of the person. It's just they get into the person's head, so to speak, and they sort of like, oh, okay. And they also do a lot of flirting beforehand, so that sort of leads to things that maybe they weren't necessarily expecting. About 14% of all the sex offenders on the internet know the person. They're acquaintances or friends of the person, right? And if you're doing any kind of online chat vis-a-vis some sort of instant messenger kind of apparatus, sexual solicitation occurs in about 75 to 80% of online chats, right? So it becomes very, 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 very easy to do this sort of thing. And what starts out sometimes as an innocent flirt turns into stuff that's a little bit more than folks actually intended, right? So you have to be really, 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 really careful, right? Chat room visits makes folks more vulnerable because they're more seen, you know, when you're going into big chat room kind of things. Obviously, if you have sexual conversations with people you don't know, so-called online strangers, you have to be really, 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 really careful. Folks who are gay or bisexual or questioning their orientation, particularly males, are real easy targets for these folks. Typically, the folks who get targeted online, who are more at risk, if you will, are folks who have a history of physical or sexual abuse in real time. Oftentimes, they have little to no parental involvement. Parents have like no clue what their kids are doing. The kids have a history of depression. Oftentimes, they're the lonely, isolatory kids, or they're the kids that'll say, "Oh, that'll never happen to me. I'm smart enough. I can, you know, handle myself." Yeah, right. There are also kids who have a lot of family conflict in the family. Right. If you have a greater likelihood of having some sort of percentage of contact with strangers inappropriately, so to speak, greater chance of having online predatory kinds of things, right? 49% of the folks had posted photographs of themselves online, right? About 45% had an online profile. About 39 to 40% were female. and about 50%, 50 to 55% were flirting using social networks to do that with, right? Females are typically targeted more often than males, but doesn't necessarily mean that guys can't be, you know, victims of that sort of thing. When you poll kids nationally, about 30% of kids who are online say they have experienced some sort of online harassment, whether it's sexual or so-called cyberbullying, people who try to, you know, intimidate you online. Generally, social network users and females are more likely to report experiencing at least one of those behaviors. Roughly 15% of teenagers report having some sort of private material forwarded without their permission. So once you get on, once you put stuff out on these sites, it's fair game for a lot of folks to do stuff, and they don't have to ask and say please and thank you, right? About 13 or 14% of the teenagers report they had had some sort of threatening messages or bullying. About 13% said people had spread rumors about them online, and about 6% said someone had posted some sort of embarrassing picture that they had taken without their permission, right? About 1 in 3 youths that were polled said they were really afraid or upset after being harassed. So this is not something that sort of goes away, okay? It's just really, really, really easy for folks to do that sort of thing. If you want to be careful, if you want to be more careful, because anytime you put it out there, right, it's fair game. And you can do things to minimize, but you can't do things to completely eliminate the risk, right? One way of doing that, of course, is to limit access to your profile. So if you have sort of some limited access that's not visible to everybody, that'll help, right? Sometimes I've heard people say that they'll give some kind of false information or semi-false information, fake information to protect themselves online. Sometimes they do it just to be, you know, silly and goofy, but they do it also to protect themselves. Excuse me. However, about 3 to 5% of folks disclose their full names, put photos of themselves online, the city or town in which they live, in very publicly viewable profiles that don't have any sort of filters on them. And guys and gals, that is like uber, uber uncool, because folks can absolutely get you if you do that. I mean, you're opening yourself up for all kinds of crazy stuff, right? Parents, you know, if you're listening to this, you need to really, 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 really be aware of what your kids are doing. Go to some of the sites they're going to. Check on them. Don't, you know their passwords. Get into some of their stuff. And I'm not suggesting you be nosy and go into business that doesn't belong to you, but this is stuff that can really, really, really impact people's lives. And, you know, particularly folks with teenagers who have more, you know, mental issues and emotional issues than other kids, whether they have a full-blown, if you will, diagnosable condition or not. If you have, you know, kids with uber low self-esteem, if they're sort of isolatory and they stay in the room a lot and they do everything online and they're not going out, you know, that's not a good thing. And as I said earlier, the internet becomes a substitute for real life, and that's just not a good thing. You know, there has to be a balance. You know, you can't spend all of your time outside doing stuff, but you can't spend all of your time inside either. And so really, the key to this is balancing your online life, if you will, with your offline life. Folks who spend too much time online aren't learning basic social cues that they get in live interactions. You know, you don't always get tone of voice. You don't always get facial stuff if you're just exchanging emails, for example, or doing IMs, you know. Now, sometimes you get pictures of the person, but again, you don't really know if the picture is the person or not. You know, I mean, you could post anything online, any kind of picture online, and say it's you. I mean, and I joked about this thing earlier, but a lot of these sites, including some of these dating sites, you know, folks will post pictures of themselves that are, you know, 10 year, you know, adults, for example, will often post pictures of themselves 10 to 15 years their junior, You know, and I'm like, are you guys kidding me? When you show up for the date or you show up for the real-time meet, it's like, oh, please give me a freaking break. You know, what happened? Did you, like, you know, gain a jillion pounds since you took the picture? Was the picture taken in high school? What the hell? You know? So you really, it does not behoove you to lie about stuff, if, particularly if you're going on one of these dating sites. But at the same time, you have to be really, really careful. One thing I tell folks, particularly if they're going to, you know, if you're an adult and you're going to use one of these online dating sites, because obviously kids aren't the only people who use online dating sites or who do IMs or searching for stuff. You know, you have lots of adults now, you know, who are meeting online through all sorts of dating sites, and folks who are engaging in so-called alternative lifestyle stuff, folks who are into, you know, polyamory or swingers or BDSM or that kind of stuff. There's lots of sites for those folks to go to meet up with people, because some of those activities are frowned upon by society that doesn't really understand what's going on. So a lot of these folks don't feel comfortable doing that in real time, because in some cases they are, you know, professional folks or politicians or whatever, or school teachers, and they don't want their identities known, so they do it online and this kind of stuff. And that's fine, except that, you know, if you post pictures that aren't really yourself, at some point you're going to, you know, somebody's going to figure this crap out, unless you're just never having any plans to meet. You're just going to do this fantasy stuff in your head all the time, which obviously is not getting you anywhere healthy. But what I say to folks is, you know, whatever your site is and whatever dating service you're subscribing to, or online dating profiles, whatever, you know, I tell people, whether you're a kid or an adult, you know, be judicious about this. Take this process slowly. This isn't a, you know, I mean, and certainly there are hookup sites. I mean, I'm, you know, and I'm sure everybody knows that there's all kind of hookup sites where you can get on, and the whole agenda of the hookup site is to hook up. I mean, it's to get immediate sexual gratification. You know, you exchange phone numbers, or you exchange whatever, so let's meet, and, you know, and within 2 or 3 hours, people are meeting and, you know, doing the do. And I personally think that's incredibly stupid and incredibly dangerous, you know, just from a disease perspective. Because, I mean, you know, people can say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, or I was tested last week or whatever. And I'm like, how the hell do you know these people are lying? You met this person an hour and a half ago, and you're already, you know, meeting them in a bar to hook up, or even worse, you're inviting them to your home. You've never met them. Are you freaking kidding me? You can't be that stupid. But they are. They're that naive, right? It's not about intelligence. It's naivete. And in some cases, their libido running in overtime, and or as one of my friends said, the about about males, that the little heads running the big head, so to speak. You know, but that happens with chicks too, okay? So this is not just, and I'm not being sexist. That's, I mean, it's just this reality, right? And so I tell people, be smart about it. And particularly if you're meeting, you know, trying to get something going, even if it's for a relationship, I mean, take things slowly. Get to know the person online. Chat with them online. You know, talk about the sun, the moon, politics, you know, anything. You know, get to know them as a person. You know, see what they're doing. See how consistent their linguistics are as you chat with them on IM. You know, don't just exchange emails. Get on some IM server and chat with them online. You know, get to know them. Spend time doing that. And I don't mean 10 minutes or an hour. I mean, you know, do this over a couple of 3 or 4 week period. Get to know this person. Get a sense of who they are. How consistent is their language? You know, how consistent is their date information? Sometimes you can ask them the same thing a couple of times to see if they give you similar answers, or ask them similar types of questions. Hey, what'd you say you did for a living again? Or where'd you say you lived, in a house or a condo or whatever? You know, and again, you're not trying to scope them out and, you know, do an FBI check on them, but get to know these folks, right? There are a lot of dangerous folks out there who are literally predators looking for folks to do not good things with, you know, whether it's sexual or physical or scamming them for money or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of dangerous folks out there, and you cannot be too careful. I mean, you just can't. And I know folks sometimes are eager to meet and hook up, and I mean that in the most generic sense, not in the sexual sense. They're, you know, meet a new friend or make a new dating partner or whatever, but you have to be careful. I mean, you really, really, really do. And I tell people, don't meet these folks after chatting with them for 10 minutes. And definitely, definitely, the first time you meet them in a public place. Meet them for coffee. Meet them for, you know, if you're a teenager, meet them at a soda shop or, you know, wherever you go, coffee or tea or, you know, the burger joint or wherever you go. Meet them in a public place. Meet them in a public place when it's really busy. You know, don't meet them at a public place at 10 o'clock at night after the place is closed, okay? You want to meet them during a time where people are going to be in there so that if the proverbial feces hit the rotating blades, you've got backup, right? Which is another thing. Tell somebody where you're going. Tell somebody what you're doing. Have a phone check-in, right? Have a phone buddy. I call it a rescue buddy, a life preserver buddy, right? So you're going to go meet this guy or gal, you know, at, Joe's Crab Shack or whatever at 7 o'clock for tea and coffee or cocktails or whatever. You know, have a person that you trust, a friend that you know really, really well. Take a cell phone with you, or say you have to go to a phone and call in to check, you know, and don't be ashamed to say you're doing it, right? Because if the other person on the other side of the table from you is honorable, they're going to respect the fact that you're not some loser that's just going to go, okay, let's go back to your place. You know, they want to know you. They're going to want to, you know, they're going to want that. They're going to respect you for that. You know, anytime that happens with folks, I tell them, have a backup. Have the backup where you call them like every hour or every 2 hours. Because if something funky goes down and they don't get a phone call from you, tell them where you're going. Like, tell them where you're going to be. Make sure that they know that you're going to, you know, the Burger King on, you know, Chuck E. Farley Avenue at the intersection of Chuck E. Farley and Cheech and Chong Boulevard or whatever. I mean, you know, you cannot be too careful. And I don't want to sound paranoid, but, you know, this is not 1950s America. Folks have gotten very funky, and I see so many people get hurt by so many things, or they invite people to their house, they talk with them online, even for a month, you know, they'll talk to them online for a couple of months and think, oh, this guy or this gal is real nice, I'm going to invite him to my house for, you know, don't do that. Never, never, never. Did I mention never? Never meet anybody for the first time in your home. Never, ever. Don't go to their house. Don't follow them in a car someplace. I don't care if they give you some cock and bull story about, oh my God, you know, all four of my tires blew out. Can you come pick me? No. I'm sorry. Let's reschedule, right? Don't be gullible. Don't be a doofus. Don't fall for that stuff. Even if it's true, you know, you can't be too careful. Meet them in a public place. Meet them during the day when the place is busy, whether it's a bookstore, a coffee shop, restaurant, whatever. I generally tell people, meet folks in a public place where you can exit, you know, get a seat semi-close to the door. So if the fit hits the shan, you can, you know, walk out the door, make sure that you are, you know, nobody's between you and the door. In other words, if you're sitting at a table at a restaurant or a coffee shop or a bookstore or whatever, make sure that you're the closest one to the door and they're not between you and the door. And again, I'm not trying to sound paranoid. I'm trying to make folks safe, right? And I would rather be a little paranoid and be safe than, oh, it's no big deal, and not be safe and have bad things happen, right? And, you know, in the vast majority of these things, bad things don't happen. And everybody says, you know, has this, oh, it's not going to happen to me stuff, this, you know, personal invulnerability myth. And teenagers are notorious for this. But, you know, adults aren't a whole lot better in some cases. So I'm not like picking on teenagers here. You got to be careful. And you just can't be too careful. Meet them in a public place. Meet them in a public place a couple of three times, right? A place where you're going to sit for 30 minutes, an hour, maybe 2 hours, right? Meet them two or three times in a public place. Don't just invite them back to your house, right? Be really, really careful. After they've had consistent behavior, after you have a sense that these people are semi-sane and safe and, you know, whatever, then you can talk about going back, you know, to a more private spot or whatever. But just be careful, you know, and let people know. when you take them back to your house, or when you, if you go to their house, right? And better for them to come to your place than for you to go to their place the first time, because you have some control. It's in your neighborhood. Again, tell people what's happening. Let somebody you trust know where you are, right? And let a couple of friends know, whatever. Make daggum sure you have a cell phone with you. Make sure the cell phone is fully charged. Make sure you have good service where you're going, right? You just can't be too careful. And I again, I don't want to sound like some paranoid guy, but I have heard so many horror stories about folks, you know, getting all kinds of crazy stuff. Don't take any drinks from them. If you're an adult and you meet them at a bar, you know, do not let them go get a drink for you. I don't care how chivalrous that may seem. Don't let them do it. I can't tell you how many people put the so-called date rape drugs, other drugs, in somebody's drink on the way there back to bringing it to the table to you. I mean, just be careful. If you have drinks at a restaurant, even if it's like iced tea and you get up to go to the bathroom, take the drink with you. You know, you cannot be too careful. If people are out there to harm you, they're going to find ways to do it if you give them an opportunity. So don't give them the opportunity, right? Be very, very careful. Limit the information you give them on these meetings so that if they have some nefarious, you know, intentions, blackmail or whatever, particularly if you're one of these, you know, alternative folks that, you know, do alternative lifestyle stuff, you have to be even more careful, particularly if you're in a political office or some profession where folks might frown on, you know, what you do. You have to be uber careful. You have to be even more careful because you just don't know what people's intentions are, right? So what I tell people is be smart whatever you do. If you meet people online, get to know them first. Don't share too much information about yourself until you get a sense that these people are semi-sane and semi-safe, right? Don't think that you can have two or three profiles and think you're going to be okay if you've got this fake profile about yourself with all kind of fake information, but somewhere out there there's a profile with you with real information, because honestly, a lot of these sites, as I mentioned earlier, automatically link to each other. That's sort of the new, you know, thing, that if you're on LinkedIn or whatever, that these things automatically link with each other, and they don't necessarily tell you they're linking with each other, so you don't know you're being linked together. So you could have, and I'm just making this up, right? You could have like a MySpace page, you could have a LinkedIn page, you could have a, you know, whatever page, and all these things are automatically linking with each other so that you don't have to do it. They're thinking they're doing you a favor. Well, that's fine as long as it's some kind of, you know, normal kind of site or whatever. But if you're out there soliciting for stuff, or if you're out there looking for stuff, and you say, well, I'm going to put a fake profile out and I'm going to do all this, you know, crazy stuff, so that in case somebody gets me, they can't find me. Let me tell you, if they're judicious enough, they'll find you, because stuff's linked to every other stuff, right? If you have pictures of yourself and it's a real site even, right? Don't have pictures of you in front of your house, right? Don't name friends' names on your site. It makes it harder, because if you say your best friend is Judy Smith, right, and you give a false name, particularly if you're in front of a high school or middle school, or in front of a house with a number on it and an address or the mailbox or the street number, or you're standing in front of a school and you're taking a picture, or a soda shop in a certain city or whatever, and it has the soda shop's name. And, you know, some of these guys and gals are really, really clever about finding stuff. So I tell people, you can't be too careful. You know, be very, very, very judicious about what you do, how you post pictures, with whom you take pictures, names you give. You know, I mean, it's great to have friends and it's great to honor your friends and having them with you and stuff. Just be careful. Help protect them too, right? Because you put them at risk also. Right? For those of you who go online wanting support, like whether you go on YouTube or whatever and post pictures of yourself doing stuff, be really careful, right? Because if you're doing stupid stuff, and no offense when I say this, but if you're doing stupid stuff like, you know, having pictures of your private parts, or showing pictures of you masturbating or having sex with your girlfriend or boyfriend or dog or cat or whatever you're going to do, right? You have to be very aware that that stuff is out there, and you may not get the welcoming committee coming with you with open arms going, wow, that's so cool, I can't believe you did that, right? People have varying views of stuff, right? And even if you're playing a song, you know, and you're singing a song and you're wanting somebody to tell you what a great voice you have, you may end up having people tell you, honey, give it up, you know, or dude, you know, take singing lessons or take music. People can be really cruel, right? And you're not always going to get the affirmation that you think you want, right? So be very careful what you say. Be very careful what you print. A lot of folks printing journals out there online and putting some really, 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 really personal stuff on there. Please be careful when you do that, right? Be really, really, really careful. And if you're friends with somebody who's doing this stuff, be a real friend. Be woman enough or man enough to go up to them and say, you need to really put a lid on your id with that shit because you're going to potentially get yourself in a shitload of trouble. And people don't intend to do that. And a lot of times people will make comments on stuff and people can be really mean. And they don't. Sometimes they don't think they're being that mean. And they say some pretty nasty, blunt things. And, you know, if you're a really sensitive person, you can sometimes take it the wrong way. Or sometimes people just say shit to be mean to hurt you. You just can't be too careful, right? If you've got issues, if you're worried about something, go to a buddy, go to a best friend, go to a parent, go to your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, or go to a teacher or counselor or priest or somebody. Don't put it out there for every Tom, Dick, and Harriet to see on the internet. Be careful about that stuff. I mean, I see posts all the time about people posting about their mental health issues and, oh my God, you know, and arguing about stuff, mental health issues online, different people with different disorders or people with the same disorders going, oh, my therapist says blah, 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 or my doctor prescribed, you know, this for my disorder, and somebody else coming up and going, oh, your doctor's an idiot, my doctor prescribed this, and getting in all these what I call catfights over, you know, crappy stuff. You know, and it's one thing to get on the internet and say, hey, I'm on a mental health site that's, you know, manned and womaned by professionals, and hey, I'm curious about this drug. Do any of you professionals out there have any experience with this drug? Can you tell me anything about it? That's a different issue than getting on a generic mental health site and blabbing your shit. Hey, I have bipolar disorder and borderline personality disorder and, you know, all this kind of stuff and whatever. It's just like, you know, and I'm on this medication and I, you know, this is not helping me and I'm thinking of killing myself. And what do some of you guys and gals out there think? That is really risky behavior, right? Because you may get other people going, you know, you're crazy, go see a shrink, whatever. Again, people say nasty things. They don't mean to. Some people will say stuff trying to help you, and you can take it the wrong way, right? Because you're reading the printed word. And, you know, folks have heard me say this before. You know, you don't want to respond to things in written form because most people get, you know, 90 to 93% of their data that they get from communications, they get through tone of voice and body language, which includes facial expressions. If you're typing stuff out and all you're doing is reading text, you're not getting either of those, right? And that's a really dangerous thing because if you're in a bad mood, if you're in a depressed mood, if you're not in the right mind, you know, as the line in one of the Rocky movies would say, if you're mentally irregular, you know, and you're reading that stuff, you're going to take it the wrong way. I mean, I can tell you that I've been in really bad moods before, and I read emails that people send me, people I know, buddies of mine or whatever, and they're sending me an email, and they may have something fairly innocuous, fairly bland on there. And if I'm in a funky mood, I may take that thing completely the wrong way, right? And so I never respond back to that stuff. I never, if I read it and you know, and I'm in a kind of funky mood and I read something and I start getting like agitated or whatever, I close the email down and I just go, dude, you need to go chill. You need to go play guitar. You need to just, you know, work out. You need to go, you know, cook pizza or do something and chill out before you overreact to that thing, before you think about it, ruminate about it, and make it more, you know, make mountains out of molehills, or before you send some nasty email back. I can't believe you said that. Oh, my God, you're a terrible person. Or, you know, there's enough drama and stress in life. We don't need to add that to ourselves, right? And if you're one of these people who takes pictures of people doing, you know, things that you shouldn't be taking pictures of and posting them on the internet without their consent, shame on you. That is really a super, super boundary transgression. And, you know, as most of you know, there have been very, very dire consequences have happened because of that. People have been outed sexually because of that. People have, you know, gotten caught doing things they shouldn't have been doing and gotten really upset and gotten into a boatload of trouble. It's just not a good idea, you know. there is. It's, you wouldn't appreciate somebody doing that to you. And you really have to think about, how would I feel if I had some secret, or if I was doing some activity and some person I knew or didn't know, doesn't matter, without my consent and without my knowledge, was videotaping me or audiotaping me or taking pictures of me and posting it on the internet for everybody to see, particularly if you're making funny comments about it, going, ooh, so-and-so has a secret. Look, they're, you know, whatever. You know, they're smoking candy or, you know, whatever. You would appreciate it. And you do that with people who are very emotionally fragile or have mental conditions or whatever, low self-esteem or whatever, you know. You really risk causing people all kinds of trouble. It's just not smart, and it's not polite, and it's not nice. And you really have to ask yourself, would I appreciate somebody doing that to me before you do anything, right? Always ask yourself, is this something that I would appreciate if somebody were doing back to me, right? And just because somebody does something inappropriate to you does not give you the right to do something inappropriate back to them. So if they've done something that you've chosen to get insulted or hurt or pissed off or whatever about, and you're doing it as payback, not a good idea, right? Not a good idea. You know, I just don't have a lot of patience with that kind of stuff. You know, we need to have better self-control over ourselves. And just because somebody acts like a jerk does not give us license to act like a jerk back. And I say that to my patients a lot. And I say that to myself too, because, you know, I'm just like everybody else. Somebody says things with the intention of trying to hurt me or insult me or upset me or whatever, right? I want to react to that. I'm not God. I make mistakes. I have emotions too. It's like I tell everybody, I was a person before I was a mental health professional. So I'm subject to the same crap that everybody out there is subject to. I've just got a little bit more experience controlling it and a little bit more knowledge about how to do it. But there's times when I'm not in my, you know, full awareness and full consciousness, and I want to get back at people too, and I want to say things that are hurtful, and I want to do things that are hurtful. But to me, the true measure of a real person, as I call it, is that person who does stuff that they know in their heart and mind to be right, regardless of the situation, right? One of my favorite lyrics to a song is, when the lesser men have everything and the greater ones have naught, will you hold on to morality with the treasures you have wrought? Or will you sell your expertise, your knowledge, and your soul for a piece of false security in the land of dark and cold? Or will you take the gift promised you by ancients bold, allowing you to have and then to hold? Those are powerful words, people. They talk about holding on to the core of your belief system regardless of what's going on around you. And that's really hard. I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. And I have nothing but respect for people who can do that. I really call those people heroes. I really do. I think those people are very rare, because it's easy in our society to respond with anger or bitterness or hatred or contempt or whatever. It's hard to turn the other cheek, so to speak. But it really is, I think, our own burden to manage our own pathology, regardless of where it is and regardless of how righteous it might be, quote unquote, you know. I don't think it's our place to do that. And if you're doing that particularly if you're doing that in very inappropriate ways and doing essentially wrong things back to the person because they wronged you, because you feel like they've wronged you or whatever, that's not a good thing. So we need to really get a lid on our ids and take responsibility for our behavior. And the other thing I tell people is, if somebody does something that you feel insulted or hurt or angered by, you know, you can always confront them. And remember, confrontation does not mean yelling and screaming and pitching a hissy fit, right? It means talking to them about it, facing it. That's what confrontation means. It doesn't mean having a fight, right? It just does not. It means talking to them about it. And if you don't want to confront them, and, you know, for whatever reason, then you have to make it right inside yourself, right? You don't make it right by doing things back to them. Right, you have to manage your own stuff. And the other thing is, if somebody does something and you have a sense that they're really doing it to get you, they're doing it to control you, they're doing it for you to choose to be mad or angry or upset or hurt or whatever, you will take the power away from them if you choose not to be. And you might be upset in the moment, and you might be upset for a while, but if you don't act on that, and you don't let them know that they've got you, right, that they've upset you, that you've done something that you felt upset about or whatever, you're the winner, right? Because if their goal is to upset you and derail you, and you don't act in a weird sort of mean sort of way, and you don't react to that stuff, even if you're reacting inside, if you go off and get yourself straight, get yourself calmed down, whatever, you know, you're the winner. And if somebody else acts like a jerk in public and yells and screams or whatever, and, you know, the calmer you can be, the more they're going to look like a psycho, right? And that's your best revenge, right, is to act calm and collected, even if you're upset. And if it's somebody that you can talk with and confront and straighten stuff out, that's great. And that's something you ought to do with people that are important to you. But don't let somebody else take control of your stuff, right? And don't let your own mischievous natures get you to do stuff that's inappropriate. And don't let your eagerness to make new friends or sexual conquest or whatever make you do stupid shit online, right? Just or in life either. Be very careful, right? You cannot be careful enough, right? And if you're really hurting, get support. And if you need to, get professional help. Don't post your stuff out online for everybody and their brothers, sisters, aunts, fleas, illegitimate third stepchild's cousin to see. Okay? It's just not a good idea because you may get the wrong reaction and then, you know, you got double problems. So the byword here is caution and judiciousness and taking responsibility for your own stuff. Don't let other people get you. Don't put yourself in compromising positions, okay? And if you're a parent, make sure you know what your kid's doing, right? You can do that without being snoopy, but particularly if you have a kid who has issues or who is more at risk for this kind of stuff because of their condition, mental disorders, whatever, you know, be a judicious parent. Don't be uninvolved. The worst thing you can be. I mean, you can be too snoopy too, but better to be a little snoopier, particularly with this kind of thing, than not snoopy enough and have negative consequences. But it's a balance, and it's hard. And now you know why I'm not a parent, right? And that's why I don't have kids, because it's a hard job, and I joke about it. But my hat is really, really off to parents who are awesome and do a good job and really give a flip about their kids and really put themselves out there. I have nothing but respect and honor for those parents because I sure as hell wouldn't do it. And my hat is off to you folks who do. And I say that with absolute sincerity. So that's my spiel. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back again. I've had a request to do a topic of what to do. I did a podcast a while ago about how to find a therapist. And someone suggested to me, well, what do you do once you get a therapist? What are some things, you know, how do you negotiate stuff? What do you do? How are you essentially a quote-unquote good patient or good client or whatever? So I'm probably going to do a podcast on that. And I also had a request on what to do when somebody comes to you for help, but they really don't want help, and you're trying to be good and you're trying to be helpful, but they just kind of blow you off and they don't accept it, and you're trying to help them. Well, you know, welcome to my world, because a lot of people who walk into my office, you know, aren't there because of their own recognizance. They're there because their parole officer, probation officer, parent, you know, spouse, boss, school system, whatever, said, you know, lassie, get help in therapy or get out. So, or I'm leaving or whatever. So welcome to my universe. It ain't a lot of fun a lot of times, but, you know, on the folks that I do manage to reach and who do come in who really want help, they're awesome. And to them, those folks, my hat is also off, because the folks that I work with who really stick with it and do that nasty four-letter word work, oh my God, he said it again, and take their power of their life into their own hands and reclaim it, that is the coolest thing since sliced bread. And again, I have nothing but respect and honor for those people and really, 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 really love the work they do. So those are upcoming podcasts in the next couple of weeks. So hang in there, be safe, be happy, take your power. Do what you need to do, and always live to the fullest. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.